Harper Audio presents How to Be an Exceptional Patient with Bernie Siegel, MD.
Freud said the reason for therapy is to help people take neurotic conflict and turn it into normal problems. You cannot live without problems. And I think that what this can do, number one, is show you how, yes, to stay physically more healthy, but also how to deal with all the adversity and afflictions. Jung said the reason for therapy is to help you live a normally disillusioned life. And Woody Allen said life is full of miserableness, loneliness, unhappiness, and suffering, and it's all over much too quickly. My message is not that I can cure every disease, but I'm trying to heal your life. The fact that I say you can't separate yourself and your life and your disease is not to say that you caused it or it's your fault. But I do say you have responsibility to where you go from here and that you participate in what happens to you. What I'm saying is, in a sense, you have failed life if you haven't lived. That's the scary part, see, to get to your deathbed and say, my God, I never lived. And I'm trying to help people live before they die. One of the things I began to see, and I often tell his story, is a wonderful gentleman named John Florio. At age 78, he was thinking of retiring as a landscape gardener. So he was making plans. His stomach began to bother him. He had an x-ray and it showed an ulcer. And so they gave him treatment and said, come on back in a month, we'll repeat the x-ray. A month later, it looks malignant. It's biopsied and it's a far advanced, very rapidly growing cancer. So he sent to my office in the latter February, and I said, John, I need to operate before I go on vacation because this is really serious and I don't want to delay. And he said, you forgot something. I said, what did I forget? He said, it's springtime. I'm a landscape gardener. I don't have time right now to have surgery. I want to make the world beautiful, then I'll be back. That way, if I survive, great, but if I don't, I've left a beautiful world. In the middle of March, actually March 16, 1983, we operate on John, and the pathology report that I can practically recite because I've read it so many times showed 7 of 16 lymph nodes positive for tumor, cancer growing into retroperitoneal fatty tissue around the stomach, cancer present where I cut across his stomach trying to remove it, and there he sits with more cancer in his body. So at the end of surgery, when he's awake a few days later, I said, John, you need more treatment. He said, you forgot something. I said, what'd I forget? He said, it's still springtime. I don't have time for all those treatments. And off he went. In 5.5 years, he's had 2 visits to my office, one for an upset stomach 2 weeks after surgery, which I thought was cancer, was a virus. 4 years later, he returned, and when I saw his chart, I thought, well, something's wrong, or he should be dead. And I said to the nurse, you have the wrong chart. She said, no, he's sitting in there. So I opened the door, and there he is. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, don't forget, it's my second visit, which I thought was to get the insurance to cover it. And then I said, but why are you here? He said, oh, I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. That man is now 83 and a half with no sign of cancer. And that's why I know that the pathology report and the statistics have no relevance to an individual. And you could say, well, what happened to his cancer? Why did it go away? And I'd say the cancer is either enjoying John's life so much that it doesn't want to bother him, or he has eliminated it because he's outdoors working under the sky, enjoying life, literally, as he put it, saving the lives of marigolds. And I think that will to live, that joy of living, is physiologic and has changed him. And so if I were to meet you in my office, I could literally look at you and with honesty say, here are the facts, here are the statistics, even here's the diagnosis. Now let's teach you how to be a successful patient. Let's show you what others have done who have been successful. I can literally, as I say, have that hope because I know the individual sitting in front of me. And believe me, there were many evenings that I sat in my office when I started doing this work thinking, why am I sitting here so late? This person in front of me is going to die anyway. And why am I spending all this time and doing all these things? But lo and behold, 5 years later, they walk up to me and say, hello, remember me. And then I say, hey, it's okay to sit in the office because these people in front of you aren't going to be dead, many of them. And many of them are going to call you up as they have and said, you know, I didn't die because you said I didn't have to. And that bit of hope is what turned them around. And I think hope is real for every individual. Whenever students or other physicians say to me, but you're giving false hope, I say, all right, define it. And then they go, I say, right, there isn't any. Hope isn't statistical. I mean, you can have 99 people out of 100 die of a disease, but is that a reason that one can't have hope? And so why not give the 100 hope that they can be the one? I think there is false no hope. I know that doctors are killing a lot of people, as well as articles, because they say there's no hope. But it isn't true. We are now beginning to see not only cancer survivors, different neurological diseases like multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?